Hello, everyone. I'm Justin Smith, and this is the Food Factor Podcast, a look at the latest topics in hunger and development with the aid professionals at the World Food Program. One of the hottest topics in the aid world right now are stoves. Clean, efficient stoves, to be exact, that can help solve a whole host of problems, from deadly indoor air pollution to the many dangers that face women when they go out collecting firewood. With the recent announcement of a global alliance for clean cook stoves to bring 100 million into homes around the developing world by 2020, the question for these cooking implements is no longer if, but how. Today we're here with Erin Patrick from the Women's Refugee Commission, a New York-based NGO working with WFP and other UN agencies to get these stoves to the people who need them. As part of the Safe Access to Firewood and Alternative Energy, or SAFE initiative, she's done workshops all over the world to help get these programs off the ground. So, Erin, let's say a program officer wants to start a clean cook stove program in their country. What are some things they should take into consideration before they start?
Well, the first thing to take into consideration is the need to do a participatory assessment. Because the one thing that we know without a doubt is that no stoves or cooking fuel program will ever work if it's not going to be used by the beneficiaries. And you can say that about almost every program area, but just imagine the way that you cook or your wife cooks. It's probably very specific to the kinds of foods that you're cooking, how you want it to taste, whether you're a beneficiary, whether you're cooking indoors or outdoors. All those sorts of things play a huge role in determining whether whatever project you ultimately implement is going to be successful. So you have to start with a participatory assessment and sit down with women, ask them what they cook, how they cook. And I would say even most importantly is to ask them what is important to them when they cook. We always ask this question as part of the SAFE assessments. Is it most important to them, for example, that they could cook their food quickly? Or is it more important that they can cook outside if they prefer to cook outside or inside? Is it more important to them that the food has a particular taste? And sometimes it's important that there is some sort of a smoke taste or smoky taste in the food. Do they stir a lot when they cook? Because all of those things are going to play a role in what kind of stove will work for them.
So what different kinds of stoves are there? Is there just a huge selection of stoves to choose from?
There's an infinite variety of stoves. I couldn't even tell you how many different kinds there are. You can separate them very basically between basic mud stoves, mud or clay stoves, metal stoves, which can be anywhere from incredibly basic to quite sophisticated. You have charcoal stoves, you have wood-burning stoves, and then you have stoves that might use other forms of fuel like kerosene, for example. Think of the kinds of camping stoves that you or I might be used to, or stoves that use LPG, which is liquefied petroleum gas, so the bottled gas.
So what's the learning curve on a safe stove? How much training does a person accustomed to cooking on a traditional three-stone stove need before they can start using one?
Well, it depends on the kind of stove. There's such a wide variety of models. Some can be quite complex. Some are much more simple. But if you've done your participatory assessment and you've talked to women about their needs and what they like and don't like, you should have a model of stove which is more or less suited to what they want to do already. That said, even with the most simple models of stove, there is still a bit of a learning curve that requires training on things like how much wood you put into the stove at once, how frequently you have to put the wood into the stove. One of the most common mistakes that we find in user behavior with even the most simple mud stoves is the fact that women will put way too much wood into the combustion chamber, meaning into the heating center of the stove, which actually reduces efficiency. So even with something very basic, there is still a huge amount of training that has to be done.
Of all the clean stove projects that you've seen, which was the most successful and what about it made it work so well?
I don't know if I would necessarily say most successful, but an example of one project that has been successful is in Ethiopia, where a local NGO with the support of UNHCR and some other partners took what had been a waste material, molasses, and turned it into ethanol to solve the household energy problems in the Somali refugee camps in the eastern part of the country. And there's an example of a fuel with which the beneficiaries were not familiar. So they engaged in a very long awareness raising and training process, but it ended up being very, very well liked by the beneficiaries. It's clean burning. It has almost no emissions. It's flexible. It allows for change in temperature, so you can cook lots of different kinds of foods with it. The only real problem was that the stove itself was being imported imported from Slovakia at the time, which made it quite expensive. And so the NGO actually engaged with other partners to create a local factory outside of Addis Ababa to make the stove there, which actually cut the cost of the stove in half. In order to support the development of that factory, they also created a local market within the non-displaced community in Ethiopia for the stove and the fuel itself.
Well, thanks so much. Once again, that was Aaron Patrick from the Women's Refugee Commission. For WFP.org, I'm Justin Smith. We'll see you next time. Remember that you can download this and other episodes of the Food Factor podcast at the Aid Professionals section of our website, WFP.org. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search for the WFP Food Factor podcast.